Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, it's so good to see you all here this evening for our very last Sunday service of 2022. We'll have one more service Friday night for our Eve of the Eve service. We want to invite you back for that. But it's really special to be able to celebrate tonight with you. Tonight, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2 again, and we're going to be focusing on a different part of the Christmas story. Tonight, we're going to be looking at an experience that the shepherds had. And I did a ton of research this week on shepherds and just the reality of who they were and how they watched over flocks that became part of temple sacrifices, but also were part of the food supply, and just learning more and more and more about the role of shepherds. And even today, modern day shepherds, it's a global occupation. You can see shepherds in almost every country. In fact, about 90% of German shepherds are dogs, I found out. You're welcome for that. Thank you. I don't know if I've ever gotten clapped for a terrible joke before, so that concerns me. So in Luke chapter 2, Taylor's already read our passage for us as we observed our Advent time and she lit the candle. But in Luke chapter 2, let's begin by looking there, beginning in verse 8. We're just going to read a few verses, then we're going to zone in on one particular verse, the first message that also contains the first command of Christmas. It says, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. We're going to stop there. Taylor's already read the rest of this passage, but we're going to focus particularly on this first message that the angel gave to these shepherds. And we're going to notice a few things. One of the things we'll notice is that the shepherds were doing what shepherds do. They were in the middle of their routine. They were in the middle of just a mundane moment of their life. It was extremely familiar to them. They were used to it. They were staying out in the fields, and they were keeping watch over their flocks by night. So here's one profound observation, is that these shepherds were shepherding. They were just doing what they were supposed to do. They were where they were supposed to be. It was part of their normal life. And in actuality, that's where you and I find ourselves 95% of the time, isn't it? Just in part of your normal life. Routine, mundane, day in, day out. Whether you work, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're a student, whether you're retired, wherever your occupation or calling or station in life is. 95% of our lives are lived just being where we're supposed to be. And for these shepherds, that's exactly where the Christmas story intersected with their story. You see, the profound moment is that for them, Christmas broke in to their mundane. The coming of the Messiah interrupted their routine. And perhaps for a lot of us, we long for these moments of breaking out of boredom. Maybe that's why we spend so much time on our phones, is we just want to live vicariously through someone else. We look at Instagram and see where everyone else is vacationing, and we're like, oh, and you're just like living through someone else's experiences. Perhaps that's you. You just want to escape the routine. You want to live the mundane. You want to live someone else's life. And Scripture talks to us about coveting. And coveting happens when we want to be who we're not, or we want something that someone else has, or it's an expression of discontentment. But Christmas is the kernel of which God comes and interrupts our lives. It's just a small thing. It's just a baby. It's just being where they're supposed to be. Christmas breaks in. And Christmas breaks in because in the narrative that Luke shares with us, he says, then an angel of the Lord. And he tells us that these shepherds were terrified. They were scared to death. They were horribly frightened. And it would probably interest you to know that there's a lot of fearfulness in the first Christmas. In fact, a lot of the couples that the angel Gabriel appeared to, that's their first response, was fear. It's the shepherd's first response. It's fear and terror. In Luke chapter 1, verse 12, Zechariah is doing his priestly duties. He is where he's supposed to be. He is doing what he's supposed to be doing. In the middle of that, the angel Gabriel shows up and it says, when Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and overcome with fear. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 29, angel appears to Mary and brings a message to her. And her response was to be deeply troubled by his statement. First Christmas is shrouded in fear because it surprises the people surrounding the first Christmas. It upsets and interrupts their routines. See, God has come and wants to do something magnificent in their lives and through their lives. And so God's interruption actually is an invitation to the people of the first Christmas to get on board with God and to be all in. Remind ourselves, remind our kids, remind our family, remind our friends of the real meaning of Christmas, that God has come. God has interrupted human history and God has invited us to trust and him sending his one and only son. So we see this fearfulness of the shepherds, but one of the great contrasts here in Luke chapter 2 says, but the angel said to them. This is such a marvelous shift in perspective. The shepherds are terrified, but Luke is quick to record, but the angel said to them. It's a shift. It's a dramatic moment where the shepherds are cowering and the angel realizes he needs to say something, and you have this conjunction, this moment where it says, but the angel said to them. It reminds me a lot of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, where there is another contrast. It says, we too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclination of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. But God, you see the contrast? We used to be enemies of God. We used to be living by our sinful desires. We used to be far apart from God. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love for us, that he had made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in our trespasses, you are saved by grace. So the angel shows up. And we have this contrast from Luke, but the angel said to them, and we have the first command of Christmas. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God has come down. The Messiah has come. And God has not come as judge, but God has come as baby. Emmanuel, God with us. Don't be afraid. And significantly, angels had to deliver this same command to all of the people of the first Christmas. In Luke chapter 1, verse 12, after Zechariah was fearful, the angel Gabriel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard, and to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." And in Luke 1:30, the angel told Mary, "Don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God." So in this singular verse, he says, "Don't be afraid." And then he says, "For look." Look. In other words, pay attention to what comes next. Understand that something dramatic has happened. And he says, "I proclaim to you." So the angel says to the shepherds who are busy shepherding but are now cowering and have been instructed not to fear. He says, "I proclaim to you." Why does the angel say, "I proclaim to you"? Because what he's about to proclaim, the information, the content of his message, is not anything that the shepherds could have ever figured out on their own. This was new. They would never have arrived at this conclusion or this information just by deduction or by reading the news. It was not something that the shepherds could have discovered. It was something that must be told to them. It had to have been proclaimed. At Christmas, sometimes we will sing, "Go tell it on the mountain." And indeed, what the angel was going to proclaim is something that still you and I must proclaim. It's something that we must tell. God becoming baby, God dying, God taking my sins and your sins upon himself through death on a cross. You tell me if you could figure that out, if you could make that up, if you could write that story from scratch. Hey, I'm going to create or invent a God who, when he shows up, he's going to show up as a baby. I'm going to invent or create a story about a God who's going to die. But when this God dies, he dies and takes the sins of the entire world to the grave. On the next chapter of this story that I'm going to write and I'm going to concoct is that the God rises again and demonstrates power over death. And then I'm going to write the story in such a way that all of humanity can be forgiven by simple faith in what God has done by sending this baby. You couldn't write that story. We couldn't create that out of thin air, something that must be proclaimed. Its content too mysterious and too majestic for us to conceive in our own heads and imaginations. He says, "I proclaim to you," and he says, "good news." The shepherds are told that what he's about to say is good news. I think it would be one thing for us to ask ourselves tonight as we prepare on the eve of the week of Christmas, do we believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christmas means good news? That Christmas means good news for us. It means good news for our neighbors, for our family, for our community, for the world. That Christmas is good news. It's good news of goodness. It's wonderful knowledge of new things. God sent his son, and because God sent his son, we're able to travel the freeway to forgiveness. We are able to travel the road to righteousness and the path to peace. See, what God began at Christmas, he completes at the cross. And we are invited into his Christmas family by faith, by trusting in what God has done at Christmas. See, it's a understanding that we can't rely on what we can do to please God. The good news is it's not about us. The good news is it's not about our failures keeping us from God. The good news is what God has done to make a way for us to have peace with God in spite of our confusion, the anxiety, the fear, our grief, our shame, our darkness, our addiction, our brokenness. Christmas breaks in to the routine of shame. Christmas breaks into the routine of guilt. Christmas breaks into the routine of heartache and invites us into a new way of thinking. It tells us, don't be afraid. When God comes near, you do not have to be afraid because of Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, the Apostle Paul would write, "You have already heard about this hope in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. This gospel is bearing fruit and is growing all over the world." And then he would write in Colossians 1, verse 19 through 23, "For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through Jesus to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds as expressed in your evil actions, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. If indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith under heaven." That word proclaimed again. The gospel must be told. The gospel must be proclaimed. And it's good news, because what God has done in sending his son for those of us who remain steadfast and grounded in faith and trusting God for our salvation, we will eventually be presented before the great white throne of judgment. And what will be the quality of our heart and our soul? We will be holy, faultless, and blameless. Why? Because we've lived perfect lives? No. Because Jesus has. And Jesus has given us his righteousness. And so the angel says, "I proclaim to you good news." And then he says, "of great joy." So what's the proper emotional response for us at Christmas? We've sung over and over tonight, "Rejoice, rejoice." The proper emotional response is joy. It's certainly not fear. That's why the angel said, "Do not be afraid." When God comes near, when God intersects your life, when God interrupts and invites you, our response should be one of joy. It's joyful praise, and it's no wonder that when the angelic choir later appears to these same shepherds, the angelic choir says, "Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors.'" And it's joy, the angel says, that will be for all the people. Not selfish. Christmas is not about what we can get as gifts. And Christmas is certainly not about what we can get from God. Christmas is about what we receive and what we then give away. Are we proclaimers? Are we tellers of the Christmas story to others? You see, the gift of God is not meant to be personal, private, hoarded, kept, dimmed, or diminished. The message of the gospel is for all people everywhere. And so Joseph and Mary would have their son, and these shepherds would be the first humans outside of their witness Jesus, the Messiah, as a baby. Scripture tells us in Luke 2, it says, after seeing them, these shepherds who had been in the middle of doing what they were supposed to be doing and being where they were supposed to be being, these shepherds, they reported the message that they were told. They reproclaimed Christmas. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.